You know, Derek, sometimes you invite people in to do your podcast, and you hit the button, but they still just keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, I seem to do that every week.
I mean, like this guy's a professional broadcaster. A professional broadcaster. It says so in his Twitter handle. But what does he do? I hit the record button, and he's just over here yammering away. So you know what, Mason? If you want to talk so much, why don't you go ahead and do the intro?
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. Mother.
There we go. Welcome to this, the holiday episode. A lighter, a more festive Cheaters Never Win.
And boy, did we give that away in the open. Yes. Just light and festive and not berating our guests at all.
That's not what we do. It's not our style. But no, we're, Derek, normally you and I, of the two of us, one of us is generally the smarter one in the room.
Thank you.
But tonight, neither one of us get to be the smarter one in the room.
No, and it's really not even close, especially with our focus tonight of talking junior hockey. You and I are just two ignoramuses when it comes to that.
So tonight here in the Section 328 Worldwide headquarters, we are very lucky to have not only Section 328's own At Kane's Prospects. You may know him better as Pat Clark, the referee who really screwed you over when you were playing men's junior here in Raleigh. Welcome back, Pat. Mm-hmm.
I'm the smart one that knows not to talk when you hit the button.
There you go. And then the other voice you heard fairly early there in the podcast, none other than Mason Little, who is not only the broadcaster for the Janesville Jets, but I believe you are the director of hockey operations.
We wouldn't be first place if I were, Mike.
Oh, well. I think you would. I think you're underestimating yourself. You may also know that voice from Merrick versus Wyszynski. Game Show Friday fame.
You're right.
Yeah. As Pat holds his hand up in the middle of, what have you done? Taking the Derek Wrestler broadcasting course where he like throws his hand up?
I was a radio DJ back in college, so I remember some of these etiquette rules.
Mike, we know good and damn well nothing sells on audio like mime.
There you go. Let's quick game break. Carolina Hurricanes versus Boston Bruins, since today is Friday and we're recording Friday, haven't dropped at the puck yet, so the score is currently 0-0.
Man, I thought we hit a low point with in-game updates for a podcast that publishes the next day, but pre-game for a podcast that publishes the next day might even be worse.
Yeah, that's pretty awful. But on the show tonight, guys, Derek and I are going to back away from these two mics and let Pat and Mason talk a lot about junior hockey. We've got a great guest, we think. If we can line up and figure out how the tin can works between here and Ann Arbor, we're going to have Jack LaFontaine, Carolina Hurricanes goalie prospect, on the show here a little later. And we're going to talk a little World Junior. We're going to talk a little NAHL. We're going to talk Freon. We're going to talk Kane's Twitter, we're going to talk beer, and we're going to talk about how much we love you.
That sounds like a heck of a show, Mike.
I think that's a wonderful show. So, Derek, would you do me a favor, sir?
Absolutely.
Pour beer.
Hmm?
And then hit the X.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at @section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this week's episode of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, as always, brought to you by
our good friends at SeatGeek.
SeatGeek, yes, the application where you can download it to your mobile device, and then you can go look for sporting tickets to your favorite sporting event. And then you can buy said tickets via that at a drastically discounted rate. Derek, how do people know they're getting a great deal when they go to the SeatGeek?
You can use numbers and or colors. Ooh. So not only do you get to see the price, you get to see a deal score, but they also give you a color from red to green. The greener, the better, because, you know, cash be green and all that. So you can know that you're getting a really good value on your seats. I would tell them prices for tonight's game against Boston, because that's kind of how we like to roll, but I realize that wouldn't be too practical. So looking at the game against Chicago, Friday, December 30th, you can get seats in Section 328. It's a little more of a premium ticket that night, actually. Tickets in 328, $46 a piece.
Ooh. But if you download the application and if you have not bought tickets from SeatGeek yet, you can go to the settings tab and it says enter a promo code, and you enter the promo code CHEATERS, CHEATERS, and you'll get $20 back after your first purchase. So, you know, not that we want to scam the system, but, you know, like, instead of buying, like, you buy two or three or four, maybe you buy one, and then your friend buys one, and then their friend buys one, because that's how I'm doing it. I'm going to the Wolfpack game next Wednesday night, sitting downstairs for, like, $17, bought three tickets. That's, like, $54, mm-hmm. got $20 back. Three of us going to the Wolfpack game for, like, $12 a ticket.
It's a heck of a deal.
Dennis Smith Jr., the real deal.
I don't know college basketball.
Derek's
like,
Derek's an Ohio State fan. He knows nothing of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Download the SeatGeek app. And thank you, as always, SeatGeek, for being a sponsor of this, the Cheaters Never Win podcast, a part of the Sports Channel 8. The sound's different every week. Sports Channel 8.
Look, until Hayes gives us a drop, it's going to be a different sound every week.
Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. Boom, there we did it. You know, we could talk a lot about juniors, and we're going to get to that, but I want to get everybody's take on that game against Detroit on Monday night.
We didn't give up a goal. I think that was really, really good.
I heard our Corsi per 60 was great.
Mm-hmm. Zero.
Our Freon per 60 was not as good.
Ooh, no, it wasn't. And Mike, I really wish you were there to just see. It wasn't so much weird in the arena. It was really, really weird on Twitter. You know, we heard all kinds of different things of, like, the Wings were complaining about bad ice early on in the day, and everybody thought that was related to the problem that was delaying the game. Turns out those were two different things, but, you know, why let facts ruin a good narrative?
Right. Well, so we did a little, not that we are journalists and we would fact check, and we have nothing but the utmost respect for Helene St. James, who is one of the greater hockey minds that you and I have ever had the chance to talk to. But we were told that one of the reasons the ice was bad for Detroit in the morning is because they were quite impatient. They wanted to get back to their hotel, and they did not wait for the Zamboni to basically clean the ice prior to their session, so the ice was already choppy.
Not to mention, it was 70 degrees the day before.
Yeah, it's kind of icky.
Yeah, so it's going to soften the ice at any point in time.
But, you know, we get there, we hear the game's going to be delayed. We don't know if that means 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and then Ron Hainsey dropping the news that it's going to be at least an hour. So everybody goes out to the concourse, figure let's kill some time.
You said Ron Hainsey came out, and I watched the replay of that game, and well, not that game, but, you know, some of the highlights or lowlights, whatever, however we get to them. Can we discuss Ron Hainsey's chicken legs, for God's sake? I mean, the guy's a professional hockey player. No wonder he hasn't been to the playoffs longer than any other hockey player in the history of mankind. Jesus Christ, the man's riding a chicken.
He's not a fan of leg day, Mike.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you guys follow guys. I mean, obviously he's got dead ass, but I mean, what is up with Ron Hainsey's legs?
You gotta keep him slim to keep those freaking, you know, massive leg pads on your legs. You know, they gotta fit the equipment somehow, or else, you know, they're gonna be new goalie before you know it.
Damn you, Pat Clark, and your facts.
I think he's got a Levi's ad coming up. I think he's prepping for retirement. Nice, fat Levi's contract. He's got to fit into the slim fits.
When's the last time you saw a Brett Favre Wrangler ad? I think he's going for that.
Well,
that's just because Favre's too high on painkillers to get up for the camera.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So we've got one Brett Favre high on painkillers reference. Mm-hmm. And in the original open that we actually completely screwed up, that you, our loyal listeners, didn't get to hear, you missed a Bobby Brown cocaine reference. So, hey. I mean, I'm gonna
take myself off the Bobby Brown reference, though. That wasn't me. I'll make the joke about Favre. I live in Wisconsin now. I get a pass for that. That Bobby Brown one wasn't me.
Oh, Bobby Brown's the one that's over the line. Got it.
We all have our individual lines. Mine happens to be further out than most people's.
And let's be honest, Mason, you're the only one with a plausible career in professional hockey. So deniability is a good
hockey,
thing.
Pat, it's junior hockey.
Hey, that's professional to me.
It could be professional at some time. You don't know. Yeah. So, where were we? Talking about the game?
We were talking about
before you got me distracted with Ron Hainsey's skinny legs.
Chicken legs. God. Ron Hainsey, eat a cheeseburger.
Or just wrap one around your legs. So we get out of the concourse. We're like, all right, how long is this going to be? Everyone's just checking Twitter frantically, waiting for updates. And then, you know, we hear from Waddell and it's going to be a while. And then we hear it's going to be an announcement at this time. And then that time passes. And then 10 minutes later, we hear it again. And everybody's kind of going, okay, we know the Wings have to play by 9:30 because of the 22-hour rule in the CBA. All right. It's going to take 20 minutes for warm-ups, 15 or so to resurface the ice, time for the guys to get dressed. So we're probably looking at 45 minutes.
Yeah, there was a requirement that they had to give the guys in the dressing room 15 minutes to get dressed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Ron Hainsey and his chicken legs are coming out there, you know, just in shorts and sandals.
So we're like, all right, they have to play by 9:30. They have to decide before 8:45 that they're going to play. And it's getting to like 8:15. I'm just going, it's looking increasingly unlikely that there's going to be a game tonight. And they end up canceling the game. Breaking news. But what was really weird was I expected the pot shots from all the national media and bloggers and all that. And that's fine. You know, shit happens anywhere, though. This was a Freon problem. This wasn't a North Carolina problem. But Canes Twitter lost their damn minds. It was like we're losing at Calgary. I don't know what the hell happened. If people just went home and cracked open some 10% beer instead of some $11 beer at the arena. But the infighting was just obscene.
Well, you know, there have been a lot of holiday office parties. You're starting to get together with certain segments of your family. You're eating a lot of salty food. And I just think Canes Twitter was due for another salty.
Think about how many office parties that were to be held at the PNC Arena that night got cut 2.5 hours short, though. We really need to applaud those folks. They got out of it.
Well, if you even think, you know, if you were a Detroit Red Wing fan, maybe who lived in Hampton Roads or you lived in Charlotte and you took half a day off work and you drove to Raleigh, although I would not consider those folks part of Canes Twitter, those folks had every right to be upset. And
they're justifiable.
And I believe the Hurricanes have since done their best to try to help out a lot of those people. If you're a season ticket member, they not only the game is rescheduled for March 26th. 7th, I believe, but they've also given us an additional voucher to a game. So not only have the Canes taken that hit, but they've taken, you know, a cost of, you know, $30,000-$40,000 in additional game night tickets that they've handed out for free.
Now, there's I want to ask you guys this. I know, you know, we're not team side, not reporters, but in our, like, we get hit with fines for the dumbest stuff in the North American League because that's how league hockey works. One imagines the Hurricanes are fined for this, right, Pat?
Not so much fined, but it was thrown out there that the team was going to have to cover all of Detroit's travel expenses when they come back in March for the makeup game.
Okay. So I did not know that.
Also, you're talking flight, fuel, et cetera, et cetera.
So when they stay at a Days Inn, we'll know what's up.
Well, also you have to consider if Peter Karmanos is having to scratch a check to Mike Ilitch, that is the, you know, basically we're going to call that an extra crispy crust.
Mm-hmm.
If
they're going to take the CompuWare bus down from Detroit.
Take the CompuWare.
There may be a Randolph and Mortimer Duke bet placed on the game. Yeah, I can see where this is going.
Exactly. But, you know, Derek, you and I talked, and the conspiracy theorist in me said, you know, there's only one way that I would be upset as a fan, and that is if this was as a result of the Canes trying to skimp on their hockey operational budget. You know, if all of a sudden their maintenance of their compressors went from being once every 30 days or once a quarter, and all of a sudden they're going, well, let's cut back on the contract this season and maybe let's only get them chucked out once every 6 months, then I'm all up in Peter Karmanos' business, Don Waddell's business. I don't think that's the case. I don't know if there's been anyone who has investigated my conspiracy theory. I don't think that's the case, though. I think if we were to ask, we would get an honest answer, and that honest answer would be, it's probably the same as it's always been.
Well, guys, let's just wait to see what Chip Alexander has to say about this. Then we'll know the truth.
Thanks, Mason. We're blocked again now because of you.
I don't know, but, you know, since you guys talked about there could be a fine or we have to cover Detroit's travel costs, I wonder if anything like equipment maintenance that is pertinent to a game happening is legislated. Like, you have to have these compressors checked every X number of days, and if you wish to go above and beyond, you know,
Where's CBA expert Mr. Workrate when we need him?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you guys know anything about that, or...
So, peel back the curtain a little. Once upon a time, I used to work at a rink. Okay. I've made a sheet of ice a couple times.
All right.
So, all the jargon about ice temperature, everything checked out. A system can just go down quickly,
mm-hmm.
and ice gets warm real quick, especially when Waddell said it was the worst time for something to happen. It was the worst time for something to happen because you got all this humidity from people coming in. So even if all the checks and balances were in place to make sure equipment's up to date, if something like this were to go wrong at the last minute, it's just SOL.
And I saw, and I tweeted about this too, I saw multiple repair vans or trucks getting police escorts to the arena.
Yeah.
So it's not like they weren't trying. I think you really just have to chalk this up to, unless, Mike, your conspiracy theory comes to life, shit happens.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's disappointing. It sucks for Detroit fans who traveled here. But for Canes fans who live in the area, whether you have a season ticket or not, you're taken care of. Both your parking and your ticket. So, wah.
Well, and here's what kind of the fans who were in the building who I saw actively complaining to the Canes and the Canes front office. The fact that the TV viewers knew approximately 120 to 180 seconds prior to Wade making the announcements in the arena. Come on, guys. Seriously, you're better than that.
Yeah, is that really that big of a deal? If we're talking 10, 15 minutes, okay, I get a grievance, but it's two or three when I bet there weren't more than 3,000 people left in that building.
Yeah, so there was some other segments of Kane's Twitter that we would just like to send a hearty happy holidays and a hearty Merry Christmas to. And if those segments of Kane's Twitter, who obviously had a problem with us the other night, would like to come find us, where could they find us, Derek?
They can find us at Section 328.
Yes, Row C, we're the tall, skinny guy and the formerly fat, tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
Come find us.
Yep.
We'd love to have a conversation about why the Canes are so horrible.
Can I put one more question on Freon here?
All right, absolutely.
Real quick. How good does the NBA look right now, where in a span of 4.5 months, you have the NFL Hall of Fame game canceled because they can't take care of their field? You have that. Now, granted, in the scheme here, it's minor, but you might have seen a week or so ago the Steelers-Bills game where they tore up a lot of the rubber pellets, right? And then you have this here in Carolina. How good is the NBA? I mean, you have two of the biggest four sporting leagues in the United States and Canada and all of North America have massive, should be preventable issues with their playing services.
Well, but the NBA had a game canceled last year. Because
it
was this season.
It was less than 4 weeks ago in Philadelphia.
West Sixers, Philadelphia?
Born and raised.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Game postponed because too much condensation on the ice because of a compressor issue.
What?
So imagine that was during the morning skate or mid-afternoon before a Flyers game. They might be in the exact same boat.
Now, Pat.
I'm sorry. Was that too much logic and reasoning?
No. But if it's cold in Philadelphia and they have those problems, how come they happen in Raleigh too? Raleigh's warm.
If it's cold outside and you burn a fire inside?
Oh, no.
Will your house still burn down?
No. That ain't right, Derek.
Yeah, the jokes last night, too, of like, oh, it's in Buffalo. At least we know there'll be ice tonight. Like, this, if a compressor blows up, it doesn't matter if it's 2 or 85 degrees outside. It's going to warm up.
Well, not only that, we're lucky the Buffalo game wasn't canceled due to fog. Or, you know, the fact they had too much ice outside, which happened last season.
Yeah, it's happened a lot there. So
it has. So we don't want to be shills for this franchise, but Jesus Christ, guys, calm the F down. It's the holidays. Drink some booze and relax.
Mm-hmm.
Relax.
I look forward to Doug Worf's tell-all blog post about this past Monday.
Yeah. Is now a good time to talk about Doug?
Why
not?
Actually, no, Mike, it's not.
Okay.
It's not a good time at all.
For those of you who may not be aware, we one of the friends of the podcast is the director of marketing and the executive vice president of the Canes Kids and Community Foundation, Doug Worf. It was announced by the Hurricanes this week that after 16 years with the Hurricanes franchise, Doug has accepted a C-level executive position. He is going to be a chief marketing officer for a company here in Raleigh, And we wish Doug nothing but the best. It is a, I believe it will be a huge loss for the Carolina Hurricanes team. Mm-hmm. I do know that there are some phenomenal people in the Kids and Community Foundation. I'm thinking about people like Gabby Pinto and all of those guys who just do phenomenal work. And so it's going to be interesting to see who falls into that. But also as a director of marketing, you know, we've seen a lot of changes. You've got Chris Greenlee now running Canes Vision, but a new director of marketing for the first time in quite some time could be an interesting take on what we see out of the Canes in the coming years, and particularly with this being a mid-season change, this new director of marketing could take a new creative vision to, you know, a playoff run-up promotion, to how our season tickets are going to look next year, to the fact of we probably should not have playoff tickets in our goddamn playoff books anymore.
Well, it's not like it's been a jinx or anything.
No, not since 2009.
Yeah, blame the tickets, guys. Blame the tickets.
Look, can you blame anything else? The only thing I can think of that's also not happened, or, you know, consistently every year since we haven't made the playoffs. Hey, Mike, quick question.
Yes, Derek.
Have there been corn dog nuggets in the arena?
There have been. Yes. Yes, there have been.
Have there been corn dog nuggets on sale outside Section 328?
They have not. And we have not won a Stanley Cup since the removal of corn dog nuggets. Just saying.
Correlation is causation, at least for this.
Yep. Speaking of correlation is causation, some people would say, maybe even armchair GMs would say, that the reason may be because the fact we have not drafted nearly as well as we should have over the last couple of years. So rather than us continue to drone on, that's why we have Mason here. That's why we have Pat here. We wanted to talk a little bit about juniors. We wanted to talk about the Hurricanes junior prospect. And working for the Janesville Jets, you, Mason, had a great opportunity to see a now Hurricanes prospect in Jack LaFontaine, who we hope is going to call in on this podcast. If he doesn't, he's forever going to be stuck behind Callum Booth in our minds. Give us a little, for someone who watched LaFontaine, la 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 LaFontaine all last year, what's his game like, and what how's he looking during his first season of college hockey at the University of Michigan? Go Blue.
Sorry, Derek, he's playing really well. He's Mikey's a true freshman, and you know how rare that is in college hockey for a guy. I mean, this is a guy who graduated high school, and then 4 months later, he's between the pipes for one of the most prestigious hockey programs in the entire NCAA. He's playing for Red Berenson, one of the best college hockey coaches of all time. So it's, you know, those true freshmen are incredible. And what's really cool is Janesville put one out last year, too, the year previous to LaFontaine. Matt Jerusik went to Wisconsin as a true freshman, and Jerusik's, he's seen better days for the Badgers, who've struggled as well. But LaFontaine, third in the Big Ten in save percentage behind first place is his other freshman, Hayden Levine. Pat's a college hockey guy. Pat, you can tell us a little bit about the multi-goal system in Michigan.
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting to watch from afar. I don't get to see many games, but I have seen LaFontaine play once in its entirety this season. And you've seen some NHL goalies, particularly in up on Long Island, complain about three goalie system. So it's been interesting to see how Red Berenson balances out the three guys. Seems to be that each guy is getting enough playing time. They're in the lineup. And while when you compare all three players' numbers, LaFontaine right now has the lowest save percentage. He's also facing the highest quality of competition. I mean, on three or four occasions this year, he's stopped 50 plus shots. I mean, we remember what that's like.
Is that good?
No, that's not good.
That save percentage, by the way, is a 919.
Yeah, which, what's an average save percentage for a goalie?
You need 915, I believe, to be anywhere near the qualifying of the playoffs. But if you have a 909 career save percentage, you can get a multi-year contract extension, make a whole bunch of money as long as you won the Vezina. Not the Vezina, the
Conn Smythe.
The Conn Smythe, yeah.
And he's still 18 years old, 19 years old now.
He's 18.
So,
January.
So help a layman such as myself understand, like, a 919 save percentage in college, how does that translate to the NHL? Because I know if you look at, like, a goalie in junior, what they're posting is going to be lower than what they would likely post in the NHL for myriad reasons.
Right. So in junior, typically 900 is kind of that baseline. Who's ever above 900, that's considered good in junior hockey, especially the CHL. Anything below, it could be any circumstances.
You play in the Q, and if you put a 785 up, you're probably winning a lot of games.
Yeah. But in NCAA, I think the numbers are a little closer to pro hockey. Okay. You might see it as an AHL comparison more than an NHL, where we see our perhaps goalie of the future, Nedeljkovic, put up, you know, some struggling goalie numbers so far in the AHL, but it's not necessarily indicative of how he plays. Same situation here in college hockey. You do face a lot of shots, but the quality of defense and goals per game is more of a pro quality.
So you're saying the fact that Alex Nedeljkovic's numbers for the first half of his pro career being worse than Mike Murphy's numbers should not be cause for alarm. Also, shout out to Mike Murphy.
Set down the glass, take a deep breath, take a little lap around your living room. Ned'll be fine. Look how many guys were called up with the team. Look how the goal scoring went down and plummeted. You know, if they're averaging 2 goals a game in the last month, I'd be shocked.
Well, I mean, it's a goalie, too. Like, look, as much as I love to sit here and talk about LaFontaine and talk about how he could impact the Carolina Hurricanes, he turns 19 in January. We're talking about goaltenders.
Tom Barrasso had won a Vezina and a Conn Smythe by the time he was 19.
This is a guy who might not play a pro game until Trump is voted out, guys. Nothing? Okay, nothing. So, yeah. I mean, this is a guy, he's 18 years old. Like, Scott Darling up in Chicago is this, oh my gosh, is he going to take over for Crawford? Are they going to let Crawford out? Are they going to look to trade him in Vegas, whatever, because he's expensive? Darling, this new guy, future, right? A couple of years, he's 27 years old, guys. This is a goaltender. You know, he's not going to hit. First of all, LaFontaine's not going to leave Michigan until he has a pro contract secured 100%. You know, this is a guy, he really cares about his education, and he's likely to finish out there as well. So, like, there's no guarantee that he's going to come up to any level of pro hockey before he's 22 or 23 years old anyway. Second, like, that you need to spend, you know, I like to respect you guys as listeners. I think I'm preaching to the choir here when I say that goaltenders need to mire a little bit in these minor leagues before they get up to the pros.
Yeah, and then when you take a guy from junior, bring him down to the AHL level with how many rookies are on the checkers?
Right.
It's more than, you know, a handful. It's just an adjustment period. If you were doing this in the third year of his entry-level contract, you know, red flags, warnings.
Okay.
And you worry about that player, but that's why you've seen in the last 2-3 years the number of goalies drafted by the Canes. So it's not just Ned and LaFontaine. There's also Callum Booth. There's also Jeremy Helvig. And maybe Colin Olsen from Western Michigan. I don't know.
So I wanted to ask you guys about that, because when we drafted, I think, was it 1 or 2 goalies this year? Everybody's going, why are we doing this? We have our goalie of the future, quote unquote, in Nedeljkovic, after we had our quote unquote goalie of the future with Daniel Altschuler. And people are, you know, some folks, I forget if it was either one of you or Mr. Workrate, who said, and I didn't really get the analogy because I don't follow baseball, but goalies are like pitchers. You don't really, you know, if you have 10, you may have 3.
You also don't know what you have until it's there.
Right.
You really don't.
So I wanted to ask you guys, because again, I find you to be much more educated when it comes to prospects in junior hockey, and minor hockey than I am. Are goalies the most difficult position to project? Because you can look at a guy, you see an Austin Matthews or something like that, and you go, okay, here's how he plays, here's what is a reasonable projection, and then there's plenty of unreasonable ones. But for me especially, it's hard to look at a goalie and go, oh yeah, I see flashes of so-and-so or what his ceiling could be, because there just seems to be so many variables.
Pat?
All right, let's take this back a step.
I realize I put like 6 questions in one.
You did, and before even Pat answers, I want to say, like, I don't know dick about goalies. Like, I'll tell you what I know about whatever level of hockey I'm coming in from, but no one knows anything about goalies. They're not a science, even. Like, rules and logic and stats don't apply. So, like, I don't know dick about goalies, and you really need to have been a goalie in order to fully analyze one, but I mean, I'll pretend I do.
Yeah, good luck with that, Mason.
Yeah.
It's not even easy to fake it. Goalies are products of their environment.
Okay.
We're seeing it with Cam Ward this year. We see a better defensive team in front of him.
He's made some subtle adjustments to his play. We see an average NHL goalie again.
Okay.
Maybe slightly above average goalie. With the kids, you got to see them work and play a lot. You judge them on their technical ability, but you really don't know what you have until they get to the professional ranks.
What if we ask this question to Jack LaFontaine?
Ladies and gentlemen, with us, we are very proud to have a goaltender from the University of Michigan, as Derek dies a little inside, but also former Janesville Jets goaltender, none other than Mr. Jack LaFontaine. Jack, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys today?
We are excellent. Thanks for taking some time out of your holiday break to join us. So talk to us a little bit. First question that I had, and then I'm going to turn it over to guys who know junior hockey and are much smarter than I. When you were drafted by the Carolina Hurricanes, but you look at kind of the Canes system where they've also got Nedeljkovic, Callum Booth, and you've got Helvig, and it was a pretty rich goaltender draft. How do you view that as a goaltender who's going up to the highest level of college hockey, and what is it you need to accomplish to make an impression on David Marcoux and Ron Francis as a young goaltender?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goalies you just mentioned are very, very talented. I mean, I remember watching them a couple years ago being drafted and thinking, like, how much depth Carolina has. So, I mean, for me personally, I can learn a lot from those three guys. And that's what development camp's all about for me. It's about learning from not only the goalie coaches, but it's learning from those guys. I think they're great examples for me. And, you know, I take that, I go to my season, and I just focus on my game. And, you know, I think when you start worrying about others, it kind of gets in the way of your own goal. And for me, my own goal right now is just getting better every day and trying to win a national championship for the University of Michigan and Coach Red Berenson.
Jack, you talk about the importance of goaltending coaches and focusing on that one-on-one time with them and on your own personal development, blocking everything out aside. Now is the time where I got to pimp our program. I mean, whether it's you or Matty Jerusik the year before, Brock Kaus, Logie Halladay, like, this is a team in a league as well that has put out goaltender after goaltender in these NHL drafts. And a lot of it from our side, anyway, from our end of Wisconsin, comes down to Larry Clemens. Talk a little bit about Larry and what he's done, not just for you, but for a lot of other goaltenders in not just the Janesville system, but everywhere that he works.
Yeah, I mean, simply to put it, like, without Larry, I'm not where I am today. I mean, Larry's not only a great goalie coach, but he's a great person. You know, he was he opened me up in open arms to the Janesville Jets, and Coach Dibble and Coach Campbell had a large part with that, too, and They molded me into the goaltender and type of person I am today. You know, they taught me a lot of the game of hockey and how to treat myself off the ice as well. I think that's very important and something that is important for a coach to teach you how to act off the ice. And I think the North American League as a whole is just such a great opportunity for goalies nowadays. You know, you see 40 games a year as a starter, and you're seeing 25 to 30 shots a night, and you're getting that D1 exposure. And I guess now NHL scouts are taking it as a serious league, which is great. And I don't know, there's going to be a lot more goalies coming out of it. And Janesville so far takes the cake. I mean, you have Brock Coates, Matt Jerusik, Blake Wyrick, and those are just some of the goalies that are coming out. So, I mean, it's a great league, but more importantly, it's a great team that Janesville has and a great group of people.
Hey, Jack, this is Pat Clark here. I was curious. You went from, you know, a junior program where you're playing upwards of 40 games just as a starter. You know, your team's playing 60, 65 range, Mason.
Yeah, with the playoffs for sure.
How has that transition gone into NCAA where you probably have a more you have limited practice time? You have a much shorter game schedule. What's that transition been like for you?
I mean, it's all about adaptation for me. You know, obviously, I saw a lot of ice time last year, and there's pros and cons to that. I mean, I loved it. I loved, like, playing two games every week And it doesn't give me a lot of time to think about the past and just keep on moving forward and living in the present. The great thing about college hockey with these limited games is now that you get to focus in on a game and really put all your undivided attention to that one game and really dial in. And that's why I like college hockey, because you're not, your hips aren't being, your hips aren't as sore now. You have more time to relax after games. So I think you find pros and cons with each scenario. At the end of the day, it's all up to the goalie to make the best of it. And for me, I'm trying my best to make the best out of this scenario. And so far I'm really, really enjoying it.
Jack, before we go, I want to hit you with a little bit of some other goalies in the North American League. But before I hit you with that, we were just sort of shooting the breeze about goaltenders before we brought you on. And, you know, my big thing, I love watching goaltenders. And as a guy who pretends to analyze anything in hockey, like the biggest disclaimer I think every writer has to put out is they don't know anything about goaltenders. For everyone else, for the listeners here, in your own words, describe your own game as probably the only guy who can.
My game, it's one of patience. I'm a goalie that's very patient in the net, who's very athletic, who relies on his positional play to make key saves when his team needs. And I'm probably the most competitive person you'll meet on and off the ice, and I hate losing more than I like winning, so that's my game.
So, how has it been being part of a three-goalie system at Michigan? It seems like the coaching staff from afar, viewing from North Carolina, you guys are all getting into game situations in an equal rotation, but how is the practice situation for you?
The practice situation is honestly fine. We get a ton of shots, and that's something that the coaching staff's talked to us about. We're getting a ton of shots in practice, and I think people really, really take for granted just how good of a goalie that Zach Nagelwart and Hayden Levine are. Because, you know, you got to remember, Zach's a draft pick to Edmonton, and I will not be surprised if he signs. And he's a great guy on and off the ice. And Hayden Levine is like a freshman superstar who's posting ridiculous numbers. So, again, it's like a situation where I have so many resources to learn from that it's kind of exciting. And I think it's exciting for our team because they know whoever's in that is going to give them a good chance to win.
Well, Jack, kind of last questions for me here, and this is something I've been wanting to do for a long, long time. My podcast partner in crime, Derek Ressler, is a huge, huge Ohio State honk. So I would like to offer you a solid 60 uninterrupted seconds to say as many bad things about Ohio State as you would like to. The floor is yours, sir. Feel free. This is unedited. You do what you need to do. If you need to say Urban Meyer is unfit to coach gentlemen, you say it. I'm okay with it.
I'm not much of a big talker. All I'm going to say is it's better well done than well said. So we'll see what happens in Big Ten action.
Oh, I like it. I like it. He's going easy. Derek, he said really horrible things about you when you listen to this back. Guys, Jack, thank you for taking some time out of your fall and winter break to be on the Cheaters Never Win podcast here with us. If you are not following Jack over on the Twitters, he is at Jack_LaFontaine.
Respect the underscore.
Yes, yeah, definitely respect that underscore. So go over there, follow Jack LaFontaine. He is phenomenal. You can catch him, I guess, on every third Michigan game. But Michigan hockey, definitely worth watching. Red Berenson, one of the best coaches ever to grace college hockey. And before we let you go, can you give us one great Red Berenson quote out of your first half season?
Oh, geez, there's way too many. I'm not going to go in depth on this. He told us about the Syracuse pass, and I don't want to give away a secret, but the Syracuse pass is a pretty infamous pass that'll, I don't know, get you on the bench pretty early. So that's a story.
I hear that. So if you don't know about the Syracuse pass, go out to Google, look that up. You'll be a better person for it. Jack, thank you so much for joining us, sir, here. We greatly appreciate it. Enjoy your holiday, and we look forward to you, again, winning the Vezina with the Carolina Hurricanes in 2020.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, guys, for having me on.
Again, big thanks to Jack. Again, we were talking about it a hair after the interview. We believe Jack's majoring in business, and that guy, I believe, Pat, you said it, this guy's got a career in broadcasting in front of him.
Oh, absolutely. Like, some of the best broadcasters right now, former goalies. You know, you look
Noodles,
at
Weeksy,
Daryl Ray down in Dallas.
Yep.
They're just good talkers. They're the ones that are on the ice the whole time, see the game.
Darren frickin' Pang, guys.
Oh, Darren frickin' Pang.
When Marty Turco gets bored and wants some money, he'll get all of them. All of the dollars.
Another Michigan great that you're bringing up here, Derek.
I retract my mention of Marty Turco, and I hope he stays home and just enjoys his time with his family.
God, I love Marty Turco.
And the future Cullen commentator of the second-generation Quebec Nordiques, Patrick Roy.
Ooh.
Who?
Ooh.
Who?
Hot take.
Roy? What?
Yeah.
Who?
No, that's Nicholas Roy.
Nicholas Roy. Yeah. See, you pronounce yeah. you pronounce that wrong.
Sorry,
Nicholas.
I haven't been back to Raleigh in a while. I'd forgotten the ways.
Derek, I believe we had some World Junior questions came in that we wouldn't be doing our fans justice if we didn't ask why we had the great Mason and Pat here in studio with us.
Absolutely. So I put out another request for cheat mail this afternoon, and one of the responses was, "You better answer my question." And I'm like, "Well, what question is this?" So I went back, and it was from Robin Courtney at Regular Sized Rudd, who had a World Juniors question for the Juniors tandem here. Who do you think has the most explosive offense team this year?
Ooh, it's a toss-up for me. It's either the U.S. or Sweden. U.S., chock full of a lot of NCAA players, high-scoring guys like Clayton Keller. They were Dalton
Cunning.
Yeah.
University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, captain.
Gold Badgers.
Yeah, only us. He'll be Team USA captain, if I'm not mistaken. They were dealt a blow earlier this week when Brock Besser was ruled out.
They dealt themselves this blow on DeBrincat.
No. Well,
Yeah, you're hitting. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to DeBrincat.
No. Brock Besser. But Sweden is probably the deepest, most complete, oldest team. They've got some. They have the defense.
Okay.
They have the players ready to go. I think they're probably top to bottom the best team.
Okay. So probably the U.S. and Sweden for like most explosive offensive team.
Yeah. Whichever one of those two can get a few more power plays and put up the most goals will probably win gold.
All right. And then, follow up, since you mentioned Sweden, and not a surprise that we're getting this question from Mr. Ulbrand in Sweden, which Swedish prospect for 2017 draft intrigues you the most?
Well, look, I mean, I spend my time in the North American League. I'm not going to pretend to know any more than I am.
Okay, so I'll take the mic and say you've got two names that you want to look out for. At least I think that will both be top 10 picks. You have Timothy Lindgren. No, I'm messing up that pronunciation.
Lilligren.
Lilligren. Okay, I got it. Here's how good Team Sweden is. This player is projected to go number two in the draft behind Nolan Patrick, forward from Brandon Wheat Kings. He's not even on the Swedish junior team.
Huh?
Second overall draft picked. Won't be playing in the World Juniors in Montreal and Toronto next week.
We hate playing this game, but when you think of Lilligren, think Drew Doughty, Erik Karlsson. I hate that game. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. But there's no quick way to explain his skill without just throwing out those two names.
Okay, so
are you about to bring up a Zach Boychuk reference?
No. Going to ask, so will he earn a Norris or be given it?
Earn because he's Swedish.
Well, okay, because I was like, if it was Karlsson or Doughty, one was more earned, one was more given, so...
I'm just going to flat out disagree with you. That's fine, though. That's fine. If we're gonna trudge through here, we're gonna stick in the land of Sweden. One of my favorite kids is this kid, Elias Pettersson. He's Jeff Merrick's take on him. He's an excellent two-way player. He excels in every part of the rink. He's completely drives the line with the way he attacks the game. Not sure if he'll ever have elite skill, which is for Merrick, but you look at his bloodlines. His dad, Nicholas, played 165 NHL games with four different clubs. Just 82 points there, but he had 471 points in the Swedish Elite League. Plenty of experience over in Sweden. This guy, Nicholas, the dad of Elias, as a 40-year-old, he had 44 points with Frölunda, and that's great. But most recently, he's been doing
international scouting for the Los Angeles Kings, so watch out for this kid.
Not to mention he's a point-per-game player this season. So he's right now he's probably a mid-first-round pick. I expect him to sneak into the top 10.
And last year for the U20, in 37 games, 24 goals, 35 assists, this kid's an offensive machine. At that level, we'll see if it translates, but again, plenty of bloodlines there.
Mike, it's been a pleasure doing a podcast with you all these years.
Yeah, this is it. We've pretty much seen how
the pros
do it.
I don't know the checkers as well as these guys know Swedish prospects.
Joel Eriksson X, Sweden, watch out for him at the World Juniors. His brother, Ole the goalie, watch out for him too. He'll be a mid-round pick.
So I think we'd be remiss, and I know we've had a lot of juniors questions, but for someone who is, you know, we do not get a chance to watch a little North American Hockey League around here in Raleigh. So as someone who's traveling with the team, Mason, who are some of the players in the North American League who Carolina Hurricanes fans should probably be like, you know what, maybe I should go check out this guy because he could be one of those second or third round steals by Ron Francis and team?
We've got 7 guys in the league right now. They're playing in this league. They're on NHL Central Scouting. 7. All of them C-rated, which, I mean, ratings don't mean anything, as we all know, in the grand scheme of things. But right now, what that means is that these scouts project them from 3rd to 7th round. One of our forwards in Janesville, Yakov Novak, he's huge. He can shoot the puck like a pro. He can absolutely fly. He's still eliminating some midget habits that sort of keep him on the boards and a little selfish, but he's got all the workings to be this great power forward, which I know you guys know a little bit about, particularly in the prospect pool. Huge guy, this guy, Justin Adamo. He actually came out to our...
Oh, that's a great name.
He's from France, like legit, not French Canadian. He's from the country of France. He came to our main camp in July, and this is how good Janesville is, and if we had more time, I'd wank a little bit about that. But he didn't even make our squad, and he's on NHL Central Scouting. He plays for Lone Star in the South Division. He is so good that as a kid growing up in France, the local papers, when they would cover his youth hockey games, would call him the War Machine. And that nickname stuck through his youth days into early juniors in France. And then when he came over, the whole story was War Machine goes to United States. So this guy is just tearing it up in Texas. Justin Adamo can fly. He can hit. He can score. Watch out for Justin Adamo. And then as we sort of hit on with LaFontaine earlier, it's a league known for its goaltenders. Watch out for Izvan Prozvatov right now. He's from Moscow. Derek, you've got a joke.
These names are just glorious. I love it.
Yeah, it's the league of opportunity, and that doesn't just mean, you know, opportunity on the ice. It means you've got joke opportunities, too.
These are not your WHL first names.
No.
Not a lot of Bradens.
Although in the USHL, we have two guys named Keegan who are expected to be first-rounders. But you have Ivan Prozvatov, a 930 with the Minnesota Magicians. We swept them a couple of weeks ago because Janesville's the greatest, right? But in those two losses, both shootouts, he was 47 of 49, and then the next night, 41 of 42. Whoa. So watch out for this kid. Gabe Vinal plays for maybe the worst team ever in North American Hockey League history, still looking for their first win, the Northeast Generals, first-year expansion team. An 890 doesn't sound good, but when you consider that he's playing in front of an absolute dog poop team, Gabe Vinal will be a 6th-round draft pick and will make someone look stupid in the good way. Ryan Snowden for Topeka, 910, so 3 goaltenders to watch out from our league. Thanks, Mike.
So what I got out of that was Mason knows a lot of hockey. There's a lot of good hockey being played in the North American League. And if you want to go on an incredible losing streak, name your team the Generals.
Well played, sir. Well played. So this podcast is humming along, and we promised that we would get you out of here within an hour because you're listening to this as you're on your way to Grandma's house. So, Derek, without further ado, I think we need to go to cheat mail, cheat mail.
Gotta go
get some cheat mail.
Top cheat mail question. Outside of the Sabres, because hashtag Buck Buffalo, what current NHL team would you like to leave coal under their Christmas trees? From Dan McLaughlin.
Ooh, from Dan McLaughlin. It's the Florida Panthers. That one's a runaway because I mean, let's be honest. Those guys are assholes.
You don't treat people like that.
No, you don't treat people like that. And it's not just the Gerard Gallant thing. We have friends who have worked for that franchise who no longer are currently working in the National Hockey League. And the fact that they have just summarily gotten rid of people has been absolutely horrible. And I wish nothing but the worst for that hockey franchise, knowing that they will be not one of the 3 teams in the Atlantic who are going to make the National Hockey League postseason this year.
But if you give coal to Florida, they're going to turn it into a blood diamond down the road.
I like that. That's one for you, sir.
No further answers here, Your Honor. I'm not beating Mason's answer.
Nah, that. All right, let's see. This one from our good friend K to the RL. You may know him as Carl Keeks. Who is the most likely to show up at the Canes Christmas party as Santa Claus?
Oh, God. Pat, you leaned in like you had one.
It's got to be Eddie, right?
Ooh, yeah.
Father Christmas, big thing in Sweden. He already has the beard, just needs a little, you know, a little mm-hmm. just for men. Change the color for a few days.
I could see that. Not Hainsey. I mean, I see Hainsey as like the, you know, Santa dad kind of guy.
Well, if you ask Mike, he won't fill out the Santa suit.
Oh, not anymore. I can pat it.
No, he was talking about Hainsey with the chicken legs.
Oh, chicken. Hainsey?
It's a callback.
Whatever.
Look at him trying to take a compliment away from Ron Hainsey.
Who's Ron Hainsey? let's go to one maybe here that's a little bit more hockey related.
Oh.
This one from our friend Landon Pope. Gauthier is a man child.
That is not a question.
That is not a question.
I appreciate his thoughts, though.
He had a comma after that, and I wanted to correct his grammar. It should have been a period, because that is all you need to say. Gauthier, man-child. Gauthier is a man-child. Are you worried about his game and how it will translate to when he's playing against people more his size, a.k.a. the Lawson Krause, a.k.a. Nick Ritchie effect?
No.
Well, there you have it, folks.
There you have it. But Mason, you get a chance to see some of these guys who are obviously bigger. That there's this war machine from France who obviously plays of a similar game.
I want to draft that guy today. I don't give a damn when the draft is. I want a guy named War Machine on my team ASAP.
So
be much better than the last French player we had. Belanger.
Belanger.
Belanger. That's the guy.
He loved playing here, too.
Eric Belanger. So, Mason, what's your take for some of these guys who are obviously more physically mature than the guys they're playing against night in and night out versus the quality of their game?
I just exercise cautious optimism almost at all times. But, and you know, that as slight comes out as skepticism or pessimism. But, like, with guys like this, I love the Ritchie comparison. Like, yeah, hold your breath. Like, I mean, the upside is phenomenal, right? But I mean, it's far from a sure thing. Huge guys have a tendency to dominate their peers who are smaller than them. And then even though like a guy like Gauthier might trans out, he might have an inch or two on the average NHL player. He might have a few pounds on the average NHL defenseman. I mean, I don't know. It's far from a sure thing, even though I am very excited.
Yeah, the one place where you got to be optimistic, he does it in different areas of the ice. So he's not always dominating board play. He's not always dominating things in transition. He does things in different ways and different habits. And one thing that should help him propel himself into the league is he will be a power play player. Mm-hmm. So he'll have some time to gain a little confidence as he brings up his defensive side of the game. Like, that was the one critique the coaching staff had and they're expecting him to turn around the second half of the season when he's traded to an eventual contender in the queue.
Okay. I was afraid you were going to say traded from Carolina. I was like, no, Pat, don't do it.
That comes after his major junior trade, Derek.
Okay, good, good, good. Mike, did you have any more? I had just had one more question I wanted to get to because I know we're pressed for time this evening.
I have one more, but I'll allow you to go first.
Okay. This is from our friend Kane_Alytics. Is eggnog good?
I don't like it. I'm not going to say you're not allowed to.
Spoken like a broadcaster. I don't like it, but you know, the answer is eggnog by itself without anything else in it that you get from the pre-prepared section at the grocery store. No, it is not good. If you do not augment your eggnog in some form or fashion, whether it be with whipped cream or nutmeg or some of Kentucky's finest brown water, I can't trust you. So by itself, no. With additions, yes.
That is the correct answer.
I have an offshoot. We probably should have talked about these questions before we did this, but that's what we do in prep. This one from our friend AMGNOV, Amy GH. She says, rank these holiday drinks.
Ooh, okay.
So these holiday drinks are eggnog.
Okay.
Hot cider.
Okay.
Hot buttered rum.
Okay.
Cheerwine holiday punch.
Mm-hmm.
And sweet baby Jesus.
Okay, Sweet Baby Jesus is at the bottom of most any list that I'm going to put together.
Is that because you don't know what it is?
No, that's because it's made by Duclos, and I am tired of their beers. Okay. I guess I feel about them the way you feel about eggnog.
It is a peanut butter stout.
Peanut butter chocolate stout.
Right, 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 right.
To me, it tastes very artificial.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but if it gets people into drinking better craft beers, so be it. And if they're not buying the beers that I want to buy because of that, more power to you.
Spoken like a true economist. I love it.
I've never had the Cheerwine concoction that's in there. I've had Cheerwine mixed with bourbon. That's good.
That could be a punch.
I'll put that at number three. I'm gonna put hot buttered rum at number four. What were the other two? Eggnog and hot cider. Eggnog, I'm gonna put it two on that list. Hot cider's gotta be number one because it's versatile. I like the versatility of hot cider. It works in the morning. It works as an evening drink. You can enjoy it with or without booze in it. Hot cider for the win.
Agreed.
Wow.
It seems like whatever you can put mixed with the little brown liquor rises to the top. Everything else can go to hell.
I'd really love to hear a re-ranking when we're not itching to go to the tailgate.
Yeah.
Right now you guys are itching for some brown water.
Yeah. Well, and okay, so let me ask you this. This is last question from Cheat Mail. This one is from at mflanagan00. If a Hurricanes player were a holiday drink, what holiday drink would they be and why?
Is this the dating game?
Yes, this is absolutely. So basically,
if I were a drink.
Here's what I'm asking you. Who's hot cider? Who's eggnog?
Mm.
And who's and who's that Cheerwine holiday punch?
I don't want to think of drinking any of these men.
Mason?
Okay, I mean, is it too easy to say Cheerwine holiday punch? Can I pull from the past?
Yes.
Glenn Wesley? Make a little redhead joke. Is that too cheap? Is that too elementary?
Wait, you could also go.
Look, okay, the answer is I don't care if it is. That's my answer.
You could go Riley Nash as well.
That's true.
Yeah. Pat?
I'm just trying to. I'll take an even cheaper way out and say hot cider is Skinner.
Hot cider is definitely Skinner.
Yeah. Just makes too much sense.
And eggnog. Eggnog is Noah Hanifin.
Because he's pasty and boring?
Oh, no, because by his self right now, not necessarily great, but when mixed with the proper ingredients,
he needs to ferment.
Noah Hanifin has the ability to be goddamn glorious.
He's not store-bought eggnog. He's the good stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's the good stuff.
But and, still needs a little something.
And once he's over 21, we'll enjoy him more? I don't...
Derek, review the beer.
All right. So tonight, because I'm still trying to not drink sours on the podcast, I had one earlier. This is a beer from District 9. You may know it better as D9 Brewing out of Cornelius, North Carolina. This is their brown sugar, brown cow, mocha brown ale. It's delicious. This is a brown ale with chocolate, vanilla, brown sugar, lactose, and coffee. There's a lot going on in this beer. It smells damn delicious. Like, it doesn't quite pass the Flanagan light test because it's a brown ale. It's not a stout. It's not a porter. But this is just a lot of chocolatey vanilla goodness. I don't get a lot of coffee out of it, but what's really fun about these beers that have lactose in them is you can tell in the texture. Like, I think there was a beer last week, maybe the week before. I was like, this beer is just too thin to be great. This one does not have that problem, despite only being an ale. Again, loads of chocolate, loads of vanilla. I would love to drink this as a dessert beer if it were higher alcohol. But as I think it's about 5.5%, this is a damn fine beer. And I think it was like $1.99 for it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, go get you some of this.
And it's local to the great state here of North Carolina.
Absolutely.
So normally we would talk this out and we'd say what else is great. But, you know, we are less than 2 hours away from puck drop against these Boston Bruins. So we're going to get this podcast in the can. It'll be up on Saturday after the Bruins game that we probably will have won 4-2. David Pastrnak will have gotten injured again. And Sebastian Aho will again have scored the empty net goaltender because that Aho train is so, so fast.
I can dig it, sir.
As can I. Thank you guys for listening. And again, thank you to our great guests tonight who have come here in the studio with us, Pat Clark.
You're welcome. I mean, it was in my contract. I had to be here.
And from the broadcaster. Now, what is your official title with the Janesville Jets?
Director of Business Operations and Media Relations, and also the away broadcaster guy.
Away broadcaster guy.
Yeah, the G is capitalized.
Got it.
Does that all fit on one card, or do you have to carry multiple?
No, but it does on LinkedIn.
Good, good. So if you guys aren't following Mason, Mason, where would people find you on the Twitters?
I'm pretty silent these days other than Jets lineup changes, but it's at Mason Little, LYTTLE.
Well, that way, if you do have any North American Hockey League questions, you could send them Mason's way, and while he may not answer you, at least you ask them of a North American Hockey League professional, so you have that going for you.
Fire him away.
Which is nice.
Which is nice. Guys, we appreciate it. We hope everyone has a happy holiday season. We will be back to you in some form or fashion next week, and I say in some form or fashion because one of these days Derek and I are going to do the Drunk Podcast. Next week might be a good week to do it.
Well, we might want to give people some time on it because we have some things that may be in the works for that Drunk Podcast and how you can listen to it.
Absolutely. We've got some changes happening over on Patreon. We've got all sorts of other things happening. But you know what? It's the holiday season. We're not going to bore you with all of that. What we're going to say is thank you guys for listening. Rate, subscribe, do all of that stuff. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. This has been the Cheaters Ever Win podcast. My name is Mike.
This is Pat.
Hi, I'm Mason.
This be Derek.
And we are out of here.
Yeah!